Time now for a look back at the week in the news, and we're joined by NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor. Hi there, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And let's begin with an exclusive investigation this week by NPR that found that the amount of oil spilling into the Gulf of Mexico now from a broken oil pipeline could be
Yes.
10 times the amount we're hearing.
Yes.
How does that in all ways widen the dimensions of this disaster?
Well, it makes it so frustrating for both the government, for the country in general, having tried and failed so far to cap the flow of that oil. It looks now as though they're not clear on what else to do, and they're simply casting about. That is very chilling. The president says that something has to be done about it. He will do something about it. But it's very rare that I've seen a government frozen in its tracks, unable to deal with a problem that may result in washing up a lot of oil on the Gulf Coast and God knows what else. It is the frustration of not knowing where to go that seems most chilling.
Despite, of course, the efforts that you mentioned to try and cap the flow, it's still spewing out of that broken pipeline. And this week, executives from the companies involved testified before Congress. They didn't exactly get the red carpet, did they?
No, they didn't get the red carpet, and I'm not sure they will be fighting very hard to get the red carpet after some other things that have happened. One of these is that you find that the owner of the rig that was involved here wants to limit liability to $27 million, although they're trying to get $500 million from insurance payments. This thing has a way to ride out, and it's far from over. You know, Scott, we have to invent a term for the situation where the oil companies do these things and then say they don't want to have to pay liabilities for it. You might call it petrol chutzpah.
Well, your comic timing is much better than mine. Let me ask you about Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court nominee, making the rounds of traditional round of courtesy calls to members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We just heard Senator Sessions say, didn't say he'd vote for her, but seems to like her. Is that a general impression she's left?
Apparently, so far, nobody has come out very much against her. And it's true that in his interview with you, that Jeff Sessions more or less indicated that although he had voted against her on confirmation for Solicitor General, there was no sign that he was going to oppose her, or at least not very strenuously this time. What I also found interesting was Senator Alan Spector, who had also interviewed her and who reported that she had criticized the decision in the Citizens United case, which gave open-ended use of campaign funds. Surprising that she'd take a position on that, except, of course, she was the Solicitor General who argued that case on behalf of the government, and it would be very difficult for her to turn her back on her own representation. But interesting.
More arrests this week in relation to the attempted car bombing in Times Square, and they're believed to have to do with financing the attempted bombing. How do you read what's happened and the charges that they've made?
What's happened is that they have three people being arrested, and it's only said that the charges against them so far are immigration charges. No mention made being charged in any connection with the Times Square bombing. But it appears that they had money going back and forth from one to the other, and there's some suspicion that there may have been some involvement. But I must say that the FBI and the Attorney General are not saying anything very specific about it.
President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan was in Washington, D.C. this week. He met with the president, but he also made a point of meeting with U.S. soldiers at
Yes.
Fort Campbell, Walter Reed Army Medical Center, went to Arlington National Cemetery to pay tribute to
Right.
Fallen U.S. soldiers. Relations have been openly pretty bad between.
They have been pretty bad.
So what did this visit do to patch things up?
Well, what it means is that we are locked together in a great struggle in that area, and it's not possible to walk out on it because there's no place else to walk. And so the result of that is that they get together, they make every effort to sound as though they like each other, even though they may not like each other very much, and that in the world politics, that's the way life goes on.
Speaking of which, what a wonderful introduction to the new British government.
Yeah, absolutely.
David Cameron, Prime Minister, has formed a new government with now Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg. Now, these are two parties that Well, they share basically diametrically opposed political platforms on a number of significant issues, the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives. At the same time, Mr. Cameron says he hopes to make this government last for 5 years.
Yes.
Surely one of those issues is going to come up over the next 5 years.
Yes, but they decided they're going to do it that way. And when he says 5 years, it's only to say this is not just a government for the next 2 or 3 weeks until they find some other that it's meant to be enduring. And who knows, it may be.
Most coalitions are center-right or center-left.
Right.
This is a left-right coalition.
This is a left-right coalition. It is very, very interesting. It took only 5 days to put together. It really meant that both sides had to say, okay, we won't impose our point of view just as long as we work together in order to save Britain, which, like the United States, is in the grip of a terrible deficit. Mm-hmm. And they said they can do it. The interesting thing is that in this country, mm-hmm. they drive partisanship to a point where it looks like the government's going to stop in its tracks. In Britain, it comes to a point where they say, well, it's a hung parliament. We don't have any majority. We got to have something. Let's put together the left and the right, if that will do it. And if that is called muddling through, I think we could use a little muddling through around here.
Thanks very much, Dan.
My pleasure.
You're listening to NPR News.